precepts of his law, that in obeying these he might have joy at home and abroad. While he stands in his moral integrity, true to principle, having the control of all his powers, he cannot be miserable. And notice I've underlined that word cannot, right? If we dwell on God's goodness, we cannot be miserable. And if we are obeying him, we cannot be miserable. If we are in his will, then we'll always be happy. And this reminds me of John. John was banished to a barren island, the Isle of Patmos. But he was in God's will, and he felt as if he was in heavenly places. Everything around him reminded him of the God's profound love, and he was just rejoicing. When he looked at the rocks, it reminded him that God was the rock of ages. So everything that surrounded John was a reminder of God's infinite love. So it doesn't matter what circumstances we are in, we can be happy. With its tendrils entwined about God, the soul will flourish amid unbelief and depravity. Many who are constantly looking forward for happiness fail to receive it because by neglecting to discharge the little duties and observe the little courtesies of life, they violate the principles upon which happiness depends. What are some of the little duties and the little courtesies of life? These are some of the things that God has entrusted us with. It can be maybe a church office. It can be helping those who are in need, giving a smile or giving an encouraging word. God will not entrust us with greater duties if we fail to neglect these small duties that he has given us. If we want to experience true gladness, let us serve. And I love the words of this song. Hear the voice of Jesus calling. Who will go and work today? Fields are white, the harvest waiting. Who will bear the sheaves away? Loud and long the master calleth. Rich reward he offers free. Who will answer gladly saying, here am I, O Lord, send me. If you cannot cross the ocean and the heathen lands explore, you can find the heathen nearer. You can help them at your door. If you cannot speak like angels, if you cannot preach like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus. You can say he died for all. If you cannot be the watchman standing high on Zion's wall, pointing out the path to heaven, offering life and peace to all, with your prayers and with your bounties, you can do what heaven demands. You can be like faithful Aaron, holding up the prophet's hand. While the souls of men are dying, and the master calls for you, let none hear you idly saying, there is nothing I can do. Gladly take the task he gives you. Let his work your pleasure be. Answer quickly when he calleth, here am I, Lord, send me. How should we answer? Send me. And we should answer quickly. So whatever God has entrusted us to do, whatever he has called us to do, let us do it. In Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10, he says, whatever thy hands find to do, do with all thy might. The currents of spiritual life must not become stagnant. The water of the living fountain should be in us a well of water springing up into everlasting life and sweeping away the selfishness of the natural heart. We all know the meaning of stagnant, but just for emphasis, let us look at the meaning. And let us look at the third definition there. Characterized by lack of development, advancement, or progressive movement. The fourth definition, inactive, sluggish, or dull. Are our spiritual lives inactive, sluggish, dull? We should grow spiritually. And if we are growing spiritually, then our spiritual life should not be stagnant. Many build up barriers between themselves and Jesus, so that his love cannot flow into their hearts, and then they complain that they do not see the Son of Righteousness. Let them forget self, live for Jesus, and the light of heaven will bring gladness to their souls. The greatest battle that we'll ever fight is the battle against self. Here we're encouraged to forget self, live for Jesus, and then we will experience gladness. What are some of the barriers between us and Christ? Our unconfessed sins, our disobedience, our sins of omission. And so often we concentrate on our sins of commission and we don't remember the sins of omission. But sins of omission are things that God has asked us to do and we fail to do them. For example, our lack of faith. And I'm going to read something from the book Daring to Ask for More by Melody Mason, page 161. And the reading here is referring to the story with the 12 spies. They went to check out the land of Canaan, and I recently learned that it was actually the people's idea to go and check out the land of Canaan because God had already promised it to them, but they lacked faith. And if you want me to give you the text to prove this, I can give you afterwards. But I just recently learned it, and it was just so amazing to know that, you know, when we don't exercise faith, you know, it's just such a barrier in our way, because God cannot bless us the way he wants to bless us because of our lack of faith. And page 161, it says, rather than moving forward by faith, too often, like Israel of old, we lament our lack of resources. But the Bible has one book of lamentations. Let's not write another. Instead, let's continue the book of Acts, God's Acts. And I love that. And on page 163, it says, if we give more expression to our faith, we will actually develop more faith. Ellen White emphasizes this concept time and time again. Talk and act as if your faith was invincible. The Lord is rich in resources. He owns the world. Look heavenward in faith. In another place, she adds, never give place to a thought of discouragement in the work of God. Never utter a word of doubt. Imagine how different our life would be if we put a guard over our mouth and made talking faith the habit of our daily lives. Really good. Also, our failure to carry out duties that God has entrusted us with and our unwillingness to help. You know, God could have used angels, but he has chosen to use us. Right, so we should always be willing to help. The fact that Jesus died to bring happiness and heaven within our reach should be a theme of constant gratitude. The beauty spread before us in God's created works as an expression of his love should bring gladness to our hearts. So if we think that we have nothing to be thankful for, let us remember that God died for us. Right? That's enough to give him thanks for. And let us consider his creation. That's also a lot to give God thanks for. We open to ourselves the floodgates of woe or joy if we permit our thoughts to be engrossed with the troubles and trifles of earth. Our hearts will be filled with unbelief, gloom, and foreboding. If we set our affections on things above, the voice of Jesus will speak peace to our souls. Murmurings will cease. Vexing thoughts will be lost in praise to our Redeemer. So if we dwell on heavenly things, we will not have time to murmur, right, and complain. But we'll be constantly praising God. Those who dwell upon God's great mercies are not unmindful of his lesser gifts. Will put on the girdle of gladness and make melody in their hearts to God. So if we dwell on the lesser gifts that God has given us, those things that we consider insignificant, then we will wear that girdle of gladness. Now, during these 10 days, we had looked at the garment of the high priest and the many lessons that we can learn from these items. And throughout these 10 days, there was a common theme. And it is that if we really want to experience gladness, then we should humble ourselves, we should seek God, we should serve others. The life of the high priest was one of service. And I'm just going to quickly summarize what we did during these 10 days. The first night we looked at the anointing oil, and we said that the anointing oil represents the Holy Spirit. Now the readings were from the spirit of prophecy, and you'll see that on the screen, so I'm just going to read through them quickly. All need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. All should refrain from censoring and disparaging remarks and draw near to Christ, that they may appreciate the heavy responsibilities which the co-workers with him are carrying. Press together are the words of our divine instructor. Unity is strength, disunion is weakness and defeat. So if we want to wear that girdle of gladness, we need to press together and work together in unity. On day two, we looked at holiness unto the Lord. Holiness unto the Lord was the inscription on the mitre of the high priest. Holiness unto the Lord is to be the motto of the laborers in every department. How many departments? Every department. The human agent should strive to attain to perfection, that he may be an ideal Christian, complete in Christ. So if we want to wear that girdle of gladness, we should strive for perfection. On day three, we looked at bare feet. The removal of shoes symbolized the respectful attitude necessary for true worship. Humility and reverence should characterize the deportment of all who come into the presence of God. If we want to wear that girdle of gladness, let us humble ourselves before God and let us be reverent in his presence. Amen. On day four, we looked at the robe. The robe is a symbol of Christ's righteousness that covers our nakedness when we accept it. Each one will have a close struggle to overcome sin in his own heart. This at times is a very painful and discouraging work, because as we see the deformities in our character, we keep looking at them when we should look to Jesus and put on the robe of his righteousness. Everyone who enters the pearly gates of the city of God will enter there as a conqueror, and his greatest conquest will have been the conquest of self. If we want to wear that girdle of gladness, we will have to conquer self. On day five, we looked at the ephod. As the high priest carried the ephod on his shoulders, so our high priest carries our burdens, strengthens us in our trials, and enables us to witness for him, even in difficult circumstances. The Lord will raise up men and place his spirit upon them and prepare them for the work which must be done. And I like that here it says the Lord. Not men that will raise up men, but the Lord that will raise up men. He himself, the God of truth, will qualify them to bear a fresh living testimony for him. They will be witnesses for God. They will not spring up from their own prompting. They will be constrained by the Spirit of God to volunteer to advocate truth. On day six, we looked at the girdle. For the high priest to be girded with his sash meant that he was fully arrayed in his garments and ready to serve. Likewise, we should always be prepared to serve and witness. We are to seek opportunities on every hand. So we are not just to sit there, but we are to go and seek opportunities. We are to watch unto prayer and be ready always to give an answer to everyone who asks a reason for the hope that is in us, lest we shall impress unfavorably one soul for which Christ has died. We should keep our hearts uplifted to God so that when the opportunity presents itself, we may have the right word to speak at the right time. That's so important. So as we seek to serve, God will give us that good love, gladness. On day 7, we looked at the breastplate. The 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel were kept in the breastplate close to the heart of the high priest. From this, we learn how important it is for us to press together, to be united in Christ's love, and to reveal his love to people inside and outside the church. Let everyone seek to answer the prayer of Christ, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. Oh, what unity is this? And says Christ, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. So again, we see where we are encouraged to be united in love. We must press together, and only then can we wear that girdle of gladness. On day 8, we looked at the Urim and the Thummim. The Urim and the Thummim were placed on the shoulders of the high priest and reveal God's will to his people. It is essential for us to understand the work of Christ on our behalf and his will for our life today. In the smallest as well as the largest affairs of life, the first question should be, what is God's will? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearten than the fat of rams. Christ calls upon his children to rid themselves of all selfishness, all covetousness, all impurity. If we want to wear that girdle of gladness, we have to be in God's will. And on day 9, the censer. The censer and the incense are a symbol of Christ's intercession for us. No sooner does the child of God approach the mercy seat than he becomes the client of the great advocate. At his first utterance of penitence and appeal for pardon, Christ exposes his case and makes it his own, presenting the supplication before the Father as his own request. And I really love that. Can you imagine Jesus presenting our prayers as if they were his own? That's just such a blessing. And on the last day, that's last night, we looked at the bells and pomegranates. The bells on the garment of the high priest gave the people an audible sign that he was alive and interceding for them in the most holy place. As Christ intercedes for us in the most holy place, even though we cannot hear the bells on his garment, we should pay attention to the signs that he is about to finish his work as high priest and come back as judge and king. There are in the world today many who close their eyes to the evidences that Christ has given to warn men of his coming. They seek to quiet all apprehension, while at the same time the signs of the end are rapidly fulfilling, and the world is hastening to the time when the Son of Man shall be revealed in the clouds of heaven. If we seek God, serve him, go and share the good news of his soon return, then we'll wear that girdle of gladness. Today, we're going to just recommit ourselves to God. And during this week, we prayed, and it was just such a blessing. We're going to come together. We're going to do praise, confession, claiming victory over sin, supplication, and intercession, and thanksgiving. We're going to do it different from how we did it during this week, in that we're going to mingle all the prayers. We're not going to do them in any particular order. And we're going to do sentence prayers. So each person will have an opportunity to pray, or whoever wants to pray. So just do sentence prayers, and you don't have to do it in any order. You can do a sentence of praise, a sentence of supplication, a sentence of thanksgiving. So let's just come together and pray. Yes, just come together, come close together, and we're going to just pray. If you can kneel, that's fine. If you cannot kneel, just sit, that's okay. But if you can come close together, that will be really good, and let us just pray, whether it's praise, thanksgiving, or supplication, let's just pray to God.
Amen.
We praise you, Lord.
If anybody needs the microphone, just put your hand up. We'll bring one to you.
Just talk loudly so we can hear. Just talk loud. Okay. We praise you, Lord, for the 10 days of prayer.
We're going to close with hymn number 690. Dismiss us, Lord, with blessing. Please stand. Dismiss us, Lord, with blessing we pray, as from thy worship we go our ways. Guide in life's conflicts all through the day. Save in thy kingdom, thine be the praise. Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being with us in your holy temple today. We thank you for the 10 days of prayer. And we thank you that you have put gladness in our hearts. May what has started here during these 10 days, Lord, and today, may it not end here. But may we continue rejoicing in you, knowing that if we serve you, Lord, and if we obey you, then you will give us that girdle of gladness. We thank you and we praise you. And we pray that you will continually guide us and protect us. In your precious name we pray. Amen.